Good morning, church. So it's a while since we've been up here. So what we're going to speak on today is looking at what our foundations are made from. So about probably 6 to 8 weeks ago, we were in worship and we knew we were going to be preaching today. So, you know, we started to think about what does God want to speak. And during worship, it was all about building a strong foundation. And this word just dropped into my heart. And it was something that immediately I had to start writing it down. And I'll admit, the first 20 minutes of Phil's sermon that morning, I didn't listen to because I was trying to capture what God was saying. I was trying to make sure I captured it and make sure that I got everything that God was saying, because I don't have a great memory. He went back and listened to it on the podcast. There is a podcast available if you'd like to go to the Dream Centre website. So God, he dropped quite a few things into my heart about what does foundations look like and what does strong foundations look like. How do you recognise weak foundations? So we're going to go through all these things this morning. But God also showed me a picture, which I'll put on in a little bit. So when we started to look into foundation and what does it actually mean, it's actually mentioned 77 times in the Bible, so it's obviously quite an important thing to be looking at. And there's lots of different contexts that it talks about. So foundations of the earth, foundations of heaven, foundations of the temple, foundations of a building, foundations of a city, foundations of teaching, and foundations of a life. And the word foundation comes from a Latin word which means to lay a base for, confirm or establish. And that's what we're trying to do in our lives, isn't it? We're trying to establish something to be able to build upon it. Amen. So the scripture I want to go to this morning, and I'm guessing it's no surprise to everyone which scripture I'm going to go to, is Matthew 7. We're going to start there. Verse 24. And it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So something that jumped out from the scripture that I'd not sort of previously seen before was that we're not building on the rock. It's our foundation that is laid on the rock. It says in there, because it had its foundation on the rock. That's what we need to be building on, and not just straight onto the rock. So that's what we're going to start looking at today.
Yes, we're going to start with what are foundations and why are they important? So Dave's already sort of referred to it when he was looking at the where the origin of the word came from. But the whole purpose of foundations is to anchor the building to the ground and to distribute the weight evenly, to spread the weight, to give greater stability and a greater surface area to build on, but also to provide a level platform on which to be able to build. So it's really, really important to build strong and good foundations for anything that you want to build. As Dave said, that the scripture refers to cities, it refers to temples, it refers to buildings, to life. So in anything that we're building, it's really, really important to have those foundations. Now, when you look at building a house, there is a plan. So you know you have this plan of exactly what's going to be built, you know what the end result is going to be, you know what foundations are required for that. And it's important to follow that plan to the letter. There is no point in building, if you build foundations with the plans to build a two-story house on it, and then you go and build a skyscraper on it, those foundations are not going to be sufficient for what you are trying to build on it. It's not going to take long before that skyscraper comes tumbling down. So it's knowing what is being built. Now, when we look at the picture of our lives, we don't always know exactly the final picture of what is being built, but we have a starting point. And as Paul stole our scripture this morning from Jeremiah 29, God does have that plan. There are plans for our lives. We may not know them in detail, but there are plans. So if we want to build those foundations that are fit for those plans, we're going to have to seek God. We're going to have to seek him for his plans. And he may not give us, well, he's not going to give us the whole picture up front, but he's going to give you what you need to start. And it's about constantly going back to him and say, okay, what else needs to go in? What do these foundations need to look like? Because I don't know what's being built, but you do. So it's about seeking God. It's about getting guidance on what is required. And if we are guided by God on building those foundations, we're going to build something that is fit for purpose. But also, he gives us his word, so he gives us those guidelines. Now, there's things within that word that are required for the foundations in everything. It doesn't matter what you're building. There are certain aspects that need to be within those foundations. So even if you don't know the final picture, you can start by building these things into it. So it's about being guided by God. And then you get two extremes. You get people who rush ahead and don't spend enough time on working on the foundations. And it's really, really important to get these right, because everything that you put on them will fail if you don't get them right. On the other hand, you get people who spend forever building foundations and then never actually go and put anything on it. But it is important to keep that end result in mind as well. Even the foolish man actually built something. So there's no point in just laying foundations forever and never putting anything on top of them.
So I'm going to show you a picture now. This is the view from my office window about six to eight weeks ago, just after I got this word. And they're building a new office block next to where I work. And when we moved in, that whole land was just flat. There was nothing on it. And over time, and it's very distracting when you're trying to work, watching all the all this stuff happening outside your window, but they dug down deep. They took all the dirt away, and then they started putting all the foundations in. And the depth, so this, I think it's about a 9-story building, the building next door. And the depth of the foundation was at least as high as this building, probably maybe 1.5 times the height of this building, because the size of the building that's going on it, it needed the deep foundations in it. And you can see, so this is sort of the beginning of laying the foundation part. So you've got a big column in the middle, which adds extra strength. But if you just zoom in, you can see how before they put any concrete in, there's all these interconnected steel rods. And these rods help give strength, stability, extra robustness to the actual foundations that are going in. So you can see there's not just one or two, there's loads, and so much so that that guy there is actually just walking on this sort of interconnected, interlocking grid of steel rods. And then what they do, they pour concrete into the steel rods. And you need both the concrete and the steel rods running through it to give that strength, to give that stability, to give that robustness of the foundation. So how does this relate to our life, though? I just want to quickly read the same scripture we just read, but from Luke, because it gives a little bit more insight. So it's Luke 6, verse 46 to 49. And he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep." So again, it's that digging down deep that we're looking for. "And laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And the moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." So you can build without a foundation. You can build on a solid bit of ground if you want. But if there's no foundation to hold that building in, whatever storm comes, that's gonna wash it away. And so it doesn't matter. So what your foundations are made from will determine how stable what you can build on it. And when you look at this picture, all those steel rods and then the concrete is poured in. So if you relate this to our lives, the concrete on here is the main source of our strength. And what's the main source of our strength in our life? It's the Word of God. That is what the concrete is. That's what you're actually building on. That's what's going to hold the building on top. That's what you're building on. It's the concrete. But all those steel rods that are running through it are the extra things that give that strength, give that word strength. If we take the Bible as a book and we just read it, can we build a life just literally reading the Bible? We can't. We need to put things into action. The scripture says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. So it's not just about reading the Bible. It's about looking what the Bible's saying and then putting that into practice. So the concrete here is the word of God. That is what we stay. That's the stability that you're building upon. Without the steel rods, would the concrete be enough? Probably not. It's going to crumble. That's why they put them in on this building. And that's why we need to build things in our lives that God puts, that we can glean from the word and implement into our lives. That's what's going to give us strength to build upon. So when we were looking at this, we came up with, was it 24? Yeah. 24 different things that we found throughout the Bible that these steel rods can represent. Now, this isn't a definitive list. There's probably many more, but we just felt these were some of the important ones. And I don't know if you can see them all, but family, biblical principles, truth, faith, obedience, justice, integrity, relationships, stewardship, righteousness, steadfastness, prayer, discipleship, wisdom, godliness, trust, purity, discipline, repentance, hope, knowledge and understanding, fear of the Lord, apostles and prophets. All these things are things that we can glean from the word, and all these things are contained in there, and that's what we need to be implemented into our lives to be able to build upon. So what we're going to do is, we're just going to take a couple of these this morning because, you know, you could probably spend a week on every one of those at least, but we don't have the time for that. So we're just going to pick out a couple and just to show how we can take these, use them as our steel rods, as our strength in our foundation to build, to then pour the word in and put into our lives. So the first one I'm going to take is biblical principles. Now, you might be able to argue that a lot of these are biblical principles because they all come from the Bible. But there was other things that aren't on this list that we thought sort of fell into one category of biblical principles. And they are things like honour, accountability, tithing, protocols, patterns, all these types of things. They're what underpin our Christianity. So why are these important? Well, they're important because God has set the pattern for us to follow. So let's take tithing, for example, as one example. It's a clear principle that we are to follow and live by, and we see it throughout the Bible. So we've got in Deuteronomy, it says, be sure to set aside a tenth of your field. Genesis talks about how Abraham gave God a tenth of everything. Leviticus talks about a tithe of everything belongs to the Lord. So we can see that it's an evident principle that we should be implementing and we should be living by. Now, we can go and read those scriptures, and I can read that from Leviticus, and I can read in what it talks about in Genesis. But then if I don't implement it, if I don't build it into my foundation of how I live, what effect is that going to have? Anything I then build upon in my life will fall down because of those basic principles that I'm not implementing. Honour, that's another one. This is another principle we should be building. Honour those above you, honour those beside you, honour those below you, behind you, in all settings and not just in church. It's no good coming in church, showing honour to the leaders here, and then going into work tomorrow morning and not honouring those who you work with and your boss. And embedding that honour will go well with you in the future. So if I honour, so I've honoured Pastor Tony, for example, or I believe I have, and that's gone well with me because then he sort of shows honour back to me by inputting into my life, and I allow him to help strengthen and build my foundation. But it's not his responsibility to build my foundation. It's my own personal responsibility. And just because I let him impart something into my life doesn't mean I'm negating any responsibility. So it is my responsibility to build that. And it speaks of honour many times, not just honour your leaders, but honour the Lord your God, honour your father and mother. And again, if we don't put these things into practice, they're not being embedded in our lives.
The next one I'm going to look at, I'm going to combine two together because I'm cheating. But I want to go to Psalm 89, verse 14. This is also repeated in Psalm 97, so it's not just a one-off. And it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Now, if righteousness and justice are the foundation of the throne of the Lord, then they should definitely be in our foundations as well, because this is, again, it's the pattern that's being set for us. And whatever the throne is being built on, we should be building on the same things. We can't expect, if Jesus needs these in his life and he needs them to be building on, we can't expect to build anything without the same principles, without the same things being put in place. So righteousness, in very, very simple terms, is right standing with God. It means conducting yourself in an upright manner that reflects your relationship with God. And it means being an accurate representative for the kingdom in everything that you say and do, in with everyone that you meet. And if I move on to, well, it actually says in Psalm 55 as well, verse 22, he will never let the righteous be shaken. So if we're talking about trying to build something that needs to be able to withstand against the storms, it specifically tells us righteousness, those who have who are built on righteousness will not be shaken. So if we move on to justice, justice is about standing up for what's right. It's about making a stand for those who maybe can't stand up for themselves, those who don't have a voice, or those who need support and help in doing so. But the key thing here is it's standing up for what's right in accordance with God's word, not in accordance with your opinions, with the opinions of your friends or people you meet, or with the opinions of society. It's getting that core, what is right based on God's word, and that's what we're standing up for. We used to have a banner up here, it's been taken down now, but it had our own paraphrased version of Isaiah 62, and I'm going to use the paraphrased version because it's very relevant to the word that we had this morning. So Isaiah 62 verse 1, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Manchester's sake, I will not remain quiet. That is having justice built into your foundation, means you're not going to remain quiet when you're seeing injustice, when you're seeing things that are not righteous. We cannot remain silent. It's our responsibility to stand up, to make a stand, and to speak out against it. So having righteousness and justice built into your foundations means that you recognise them. You'll recognise them in yourself, but you'll recognise them in others. On the flip side, it also means recognising unrighteousness and injustice. If you don't see these things around you, you don't see when they're there and you don't see when they're missing, then they are not built into your foundations. It means valuing righteousness and justice. It means making them a priority in your life. It means making them important and saying, I recognise these and I'm going to make the sacrifice to have them in my life. And it means always seeking to do the right thing. What it doesn't mean is getting it 100% right all of the time. But it does mean that you love them, that you value them, that you seek them, that you make them a priority. And it's continuous. So if these are things that you pick up and put down, depending on who's around you, so right now on a Sunday morning, I'm going to say, yeah, I stand for righteousness and justice. I'll make a stand. I'll speak out against what's wrong. But when I go into my work tomorrow, I'm going to sit there really quietly and let everything happen because I don't want to be seen. I don't want to make a fuss. Then that's something that you pick up and put down. You wear it when it suits you. It's not built into your foundation. If it's built into your foundation, they are evident in your life all of the time. And it's not just an individual thing. So this one is very, very key to the house as well. So where are we as individuals making that stand for righteousness and justice? Where are we as a house making that stand? And where is the church as a whole making that stand? Because it isn't just an individual responsibility. It's a corporate responsibility.
So, and like I said, all these things There's probably more as well. We're not going to go into all of them, but these are the rods that strengthen the word if we build them into our lives. So what makes a good foundation, and how are they laid correctly? And building a secure and stable foundation requires different things. So you need investments, you need inspection, you need maintenance, and you also need the right materials, which are strong, flood-resistant, decay-resistant materials in your life. So when you're building, we need to invest in ourselves, but we also need investment from other people. So it's not just one way, it's two way as well, letting other people in. So investing in ourselves might be things like training, it might be looking after your body, it might be moving to a job that gives you more free time. But we also want others to invest in us to help us build a strong foundation, because we want people to see our potential. We want people to be investing in us, don't we? So we can all invest in others on a variety of levels. You can invest time, just simply go for a coffee with someone. Invest a bit of time building that relationship. You can invest financially in something. You might see that someone's trying to build something in their life which will help give them a stable income, which means they can feed their family and build a good home for the family that they've got. Or a leader can invest time to impart something into us. So there's different ways that we can invest in each other. But when we're laying foundations, we need regular inspection. And that's both internal in ourselves and also external with each other. And we need regular checks to make sure we're on the right path, we're doing the right things with the right materials. Because when you're building a house and you dig the footings and the foundation, the local council has to come, sends an inspector to check, okay, are those deep enough? Are you using the right materials? Is it big enough for the structure that you want to build on there? So they have different expertise than perhaps you would if you were digging your own footings out. So you need those different expertise to come into your life and just do that check. Are you building right? Are you using the right materials? Because we tend to have a bit of a biased opinion sometimes of ourselves, thinking, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I know I can, yeah, this is the right bit of material to use here. Or this is deep enough, it'll be fine. We might not always like what they say, though. An inspector might come and say, actually, you need to dig down another 3 feet there. It's like, well, that's going to take me. I've got to hire a digger again, and I've got to spend another 3 weeks doing it. And when someone comes, and when we relate that to our lives, and someone comes into our lives and inspects us and says, actually, you might need to think about showing a bit more honour here, or you might need to think about praying a bit more, or you might need to think about any, you know, looking at any of those areas or other things. You might want to think about this. Sometimes you can get, hang on a minute. This is my life. But we need to be open. And we might not always like what someone says, but we need to be open, because it's that accountability with others. And we also need to make sure we're using the correct materials. So when you're building something, you hope you never have to see the foundations ever again. The idea is that you're not going to, every year you're going to look at your foundations and check them. Once you've put your foundations and then you build on it, that's normally it when you're building a building. So it's vital that if you want to build something, the foundations are right and the right materials are being used. Because if you don't, you might need later on, you've got to readdress some things. When you start seeing some signs, which we'll go on to in a minute, you might then have to readdress what you've done previously. And the materials that you put in your foundation, they've got to be able to stand for a long time. So it's vital investing good quality from the beginning. And when we relate that to our lives, that's about investing in good quality training and listening to the right people, listening to the right things. The materials that you're building with, make sure they're coming from the right source and that you've got the right spirit behind it as well.
So at the moment, we've been talking about laying foundations as if nothing's been built yet. This is starting from scratch, which is still relevant because if we're going to go out and start a new work, it's how do we build the foundations into that new development that we're going to look at. But I'm not oblivious to the fact that I'm talking to people who have probably already got some stuff built, that you're not still necessarily on that foundation stage. But once the building has already been built or been begun to be built and something is standing, how do we know then if there is something wrong with the foundations? So I've got some examples to go through of what you see in an actual building, but I want to be able to relate it back to our lives as well. And one of the key things here, that as we heard the word this morning about praying for our city, it's recognising when some of these warning signs within the city. And yes, it's absolutely vital that we pray for our city, but at the same time, if we're recognising that the foundations aren't right, what can we do to put them right? What can we do to actually make that difference? So the first sign that I want to look at is cracks appearing in walls. Now, when you build a house, if you've got cracks appearing, you know that there's probably something not quite right. Now, these cracks could be on internal walls or they can be on external walls. If they're on internal walls, these are things that you, when you're looking at your own life, you can potentially hide from other people. You can cover them up with wallpaper. You can put a picture up. You can hide certain things. So some examples of potential cracks that could be appearing in your life that you could be hiding from other people are relationship issues within a marriage or within a family. If you find yourself watching or reading the wrong types of things, nobody else needs to know what you're watching or what you're reading in your private time, but you know. Again, Pastor Tony's been talking about dominant thoughts. Where are your dominant thoughts? Are they directing you down the right path or are they taking you down dangerous paths? Gossiping. Not spending the time with God that you used to, or not spending quality time with God. You might find that, oh yeah, I used to do this every day, and now, am I doing it once a week? Am I just doing it on a Sunday? Or is it that I'm still spending that time with him, but I'm rushing it. I'm not spending the quality time with him. I'm always thinking about what else I've got to do. Another one, I mean, the list goes on and on, but another potential one could be drinking too much or drinking more than you used to and doing it for the wrong reasons. Are you using alcohol to help you get through a difficult day rather than I'm out with some friends and I'm just going to enjoy a drink? There's a difference. So there are some potential signs that there are cracks developing on your internal walls. But like I said, they're things that you could hide from others. They're things that you can even hide from yourself. If you've wallpapered over them, you can forget that they're there. You can hide from them. But these are a sign that the ground beneath you is shifting because the foundations are not right. Because once that ground begins to shift, the walls kind of have to bear more weight than they were doing before. And then you can get the cracks in the external walls. This is when things have gone a little bit further. You can no longer hide these from other people. So if we look at the same list, instead of potential issues within a marriage, you've now got to the point of divorce. That's not something you can hide from people anymore. Instead of not spending that quality time with God on your own, you're now starting to miss church on a regular basis. People can see these cracks developing in your life now. It's not just you anymore. Maybe you've been like drugs and alcohol dependency, depression. Now, again, I know this is a sensitive one, and I'm not saying if someone suffers from depression, their foundations are terrible. Because these, you can have like one or two individual cracks in a wall that doesn't mean that everything's about to fall down. It doesn't necessarily mean the foundations are terrible. If you've got one or two isolated cracks, these are things that maybe just need a little bit of maintenance, a little bit of, you don't have to dig right back down to the foundations to address them. You just need to look at, do I need to maybe knock the plaster off and replaster this wall? But it's when you're seeing these cracks appearing in multiple different areas in your life. If you're finding, well, my relationships are suffering, this is suffering, that's suffering, and my relationship with God, and all across I'm seeing multiple cracks appearing, then that's a sign that there's something more fundamentally wrong. Next one I want to look at is bouncing floors. It's not like a nice, exciting bouncy castle. When you're walking through the floors in your house, they should not be bouncy. And if you are walking on bouncy floors, it's a sign of instability. So if we've got instability in our life, there's a potential that there's something not quite right with the foundations. So this very strongly links to being emotionally driven. When you are driven by your emotions, you have up days, you have bad down days, you're all over the place. There isn't a stability in your life. Rather than being driven by principles and values and biblical principles that we've talked about, you're relying on your emotions to determine how you're going to behave, and that leads to irrational decisions, and it can cause your judgment to be impaired. So again, we're saying that this is a sense of, it leads to a sense of having no sure footing, no security, and a lack of peace. So if those things are evident, then it's a sign that the floor beneath you is shifting and is unreliable. And this one's a bit of a strange one, detaching cabinets. So again, when the floors shift, this is not new cabinets that have been ill-fitted, but if you're in a house and you've got a kitchen and it all used to fit fine, but the floor, the foundations aren't right and the floor's shifting, the walls become misaligned, and that's where things that used to fit fine no longer fit. Now, we can have that with people in our lives. When our ground is uneven, it begins to shift a little bit, we start detaching from people because we don't feel that we align with them anymore. Our values, our principles don't, they just feel misaligned, so we start removing people from our lives and pushing them away. Or how about gaps around entry? Now, this one is actually, again, it's twofold. You can have where your walls have become misaligned again. You can have gaps appearing around entry points, so around doors and windows you could find big gaps, or you can find that the gaps have shrunk and they no longer fit properly. Now, if you've got those massive big gaps, there is no protection from what's coming in. Anything can make its way in and out because the thing that is put there to be a barrier isn't working as that barrier. Anything can get into your life. Anything can influence you. You're losing control over what is speaking into your life, and you've got no protection from the weather outside. Whatever's going on outside has access to what's going on within you. You have no protection from people getting in and stealing what's being imparted into your life. There is no protection and no barrier. On the other side, if the doors aren't fitting properly, they stick. If the walls have started to, like the gaps have started to shrink, the doors don't fit properly anymore. It makes it really difficult to get in and out. It's not impossible. It's not like I can't open that door, but it takes effort. So that's the first warning sign. If you're finding it difficult to let people in, and if you're finding it difficult to get out into, like we're being called to go out to make a difference, to impact the world. If you find it difficult to get out of your own doors into the streets to meet people, there's potentially a sign that those walls are beginning to slip and that something that what is being built on isn't quite stable. And then we have blockages in the system which can lead to drainage issues. Now this leads to stagnant waters. So as we've said before, the walls are not supposed to move in your life. They are supposed to be stable. The walls are not supposed to fall down, but waters are supposed to move. They are not supposed to sit stagnant. Nobody wants a big pool of water by the front door that stays there forever and ever and never moves and it becomes smelly and stinks and it's not good. So when the waters are stagnant, if we're relating this to our life, this is where the river of God is meant to flow through you. It's meant to flow into you and then out and into impacting the world. If it just sits there, if the waters within you are not being stirred, if the Holy Spirit is not stirring anything within you, it's a sign that your walk with God is becoming stagnant. And if there is that stagnation and it's been a long time since you were stirred by the Holy Spirit, since you were moved to do anything, then there's a good chance that there's something not quite right with those foundations again. And this is usually something to do with the filter system. So there's a blockage that's stopping what's coming in from being released again. Or it could be that there's something not quite right with the soil. So we didn't go into this too much because we've not had the time, but it's important to make sure that the soil is right where you're building the foundations. If the soil doesn't drain, it's not got the right nutrients, the right consistency, the water, like it will become hard and everything will just sit on top of it and not soak into it, not really have that soaking into your life. So we need that word, that river, the rains that come to be able to soak into our life and not just sit on the surface. And then the last one I want to look at is like a rotting mildew smell. And this relates back to the unrighteousness and the injustice that we talked about before. If you have unrighteous things in your life and unjust behaviours, it leaves a distinct smell on your life. You may not notice it at first, but those people who are tuned into the Spirit will notice it. And over time, you may be able to hide it in the first place, but over time, it's just going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, and you're not going to be able to hide it. You're not going to be able to cover it up. The only way to deal with it is to get rid of those behaviours, to address what's not right and put it right. So these are a few potential signs that there's something wrong with your foundations. But what I want to say is, if you recognise these in your own life, or as we talked about, if you're recognising these in our city, which I know I certainly can see, there's a lot of broken relationships, there's a lot of unrighteousness, injustice, there's a lot of things that are not right. But this doesn't necessarily mean that the whole building is going to come crumbling down next week. Your life doesn't have to be in ruins. There are things that we can do to strengthen those foundations. There are things that we can do, even after the building has been built, that can have a huge impact. Now, Dave's just going to look at a few of these.
So we can look at some of those cracks and see, okay, I need to do something. So you've recognised, you've seen these signs. The way we can strengthen foundations is to underpin, or we can seal the cracks up and make sure that they're not going to get any worse. But if the damage is too extreme, sometimes you might have to knock down and redo the whole foundation. But so referring back to the main scripture, the wise man built on solid foundations and the house stood up against the storm. Well, then the foolish man didn't build any foundations and the house couldn't withstand anything. Now, so this is just a parable, but the reality is we're all probably somewhere in between those two extremes. There's not very many people who are at the one end where the house is solid and nothing is ever going to knock it and nothing is ever going to destroy it. But then we're probably not at the other end either, where we're just building something on sand and hoping for the best. A lot of Christians are probably somewhere in the middle. And we've laid some foundations, but we might have forgot some of the principles around investment in ourselves. So, or inspection, we've not allowed inspection into our lives. So we believe that we are standing on strong foundations, and we believe that what we've built is enough for what we want to build on it. But when you first laid them foundations, maybe you skimped on some of the materials. Maybe you rushed to build them to get it done quick so you could start building your life on your foundation. Or maybe they were solid at one point, but over the course of your life, you've had storm after storm, and you've had things that have knocked you. And over time, the foundations that you've got aren't quite as solid as they used to be. And maybe that's because you've not maintained them properly. And the storms are beginning to take the toll. And without reinforcement, it's only a matter of time before these cracks that you start to see get worse. So underpinning is required when the existing foundations are found to be unsuitable for what's built above it. And this, like we said, might be because of movement or something's eroded or rotted away. But it doesn't necessarily mean, if you need to underpin and strengthen your foundation, that they were inadequate for what was built on it. What might be happening is God might now be saying, okay, you've had this two-story house built in your life. I now want to build an extra two stories on top of that. I want to build something bigger in your life. I want to do something different. So that might need some requirements to underpin the foundations that you've already laid, to make them bigger, to make them stronger, to add more of these rods through it to make them stronger. And it involves digging down deeper than the existing foundations and adding more concrete to strengthen it. And through that concrete, that's where these steel rods come in. And like we talked about, we prayed for the city this morning. The city needs a strong foundation. What if we look at our city today? What is our city built on? Not the physical foundation, but the spiritual stuff, the stuff that's going on in our schools, the stuff that's going on in workplaces, all the things that are going on. What is the spirit and what is it built on in our city? And that's what we need to address. That's where we need to start inserting some of these steel rods into the foundation of our city, because then we can build upon that and build a better city than what we have now. And underpinning is something we shouldn't be scared of. It's going to make our foundations stronger, and it will mean that something more can be built upon us. It might mean more teaching, more training, more wisdom, but these will all help strengthen our foundation. And adding more of the word, adding more concrete, and adding more of these rods into our life is only going to make us better. It's not going to make us any worse, so we might as well just do it. If you, on a very basic level, if you wanted to add another floor onto this building, we need to look at what the foundations can hold. And that's what we need to do with our lives. We need to know what is being built and know whether our foundations are strong enough, and then take the necessary actions to be able to build upon them.
Yeah, so just as a final point, I just want to refer you back to that scripture that we started with. It all comes back to whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. So the word is absolutely everything. But it isn't just reading it, as Dave said. If you are building a house and you want to build those foundations, you can get a massive pile of concrete, put it on the lawn, build your house next to it. That concrete is doing nothing to support the house. It has to. You have to be digging down. You have to put it into action. You have to do something with it for it to actually form those solid foundations and for it to provide that strength into your life. So we just want to leave you with a challenge of what are you doing with what you've seen and with what you heard, with what you read. So, for instance, when Pastor Tony's talking about dominant thoughts, what are you actually doing with that teaching? Are you just sitting here and listening to it, or are you going out and really meditating on it and thinking, right, what do I need to do to take a hold of this teaching, to make it relevant in my life, to do something with it? When Phil last spoke and was talking about first fruits and honour, what have you done with that? How have you been challenged by that? Are you putting that honour into your life? Are you responding accurately to what is being said? When Paul last spoke, he was talking about the command to open up our homes and welcome one another. How have you actually responded to that? What have you done about it? And they are just three things that you can look at and think, okay, am I actually putting this word into practice? So are there cracks in your foundations? Are your foundations strong enough for what God is wanting to build? If the answer to this is no, don't worry. There are things you can do. We've just talked about underpinning. So what are you doing to strengthen it? What are you doing to actually address that? And I just want to go back to the word that we had about the city this morning. Again, what are we doing to strengthen their foundations? What are we doing? We can be those rods that go out there and that make that difference, that add strength to the foundations, so that what is built can actually be lasting. It can be worthwhile. It can be pleasing to God if we put those things in place that need to be put in place. So it's about that digging down deeper and adding the word. So when we're praying over the city, we need to be praying the word of God, because that's what's going to provide that strength and that's going to cause that change.
Just closing, I just want to read something to just to pick up based on.
Morning. I just want to pick up something that Lisa's just said in the closing statements there, and about the hearing. As this morning, as I was sat upstairs just thinking before the service began, this word dropped into my spirit, and I like it when, you know, when God's preparing his people. He's speaking through one person, he's speaking through another person, he's speaking through this. You know that God's speaking when in the mouth of two and three witnesses. So you must understand that God's speaking to us this morning in the mouth of two and three witnesses. God's speaking. And this is the scripture building on what they've just both ministered to us. For there is nothing hidden. Going back to the lamp. Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? And you think, okay, we're talking about light, and he is talking about light, but then he says this, for there is nothing hidden which will be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should become to light. Then he says this, if anyone has ears, or to hear, let him hear. Then he said, take heed what you hear. So the first part of that is, hear what someone's being said, but then take heed. Take heed what is being said. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Why? Why? This is the key. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you were counting the tiles on the ceiling today as the word was being spoken, listen to what's going to happen to that kind of response. Watch this. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. So even though you came in with little, if you don't respond, your little becomes even less. But if you hear right and respond right, your hearing will bring increase. That's the power of this word. That's the power of what God is speaking to us this morning. Foundations. Let's get our foundations solid. But remember, foundation is not the finish of the building. Foundation is just the foundation. God needs to build on the foundation. God can't build your life if your life is not built on the foundation. The apostles and prophets didn't build a foundation, they built on the foundation, which was Jesus Christ. Jesus built the foundation. And he told the apostles and prophets to build on the foundation, which is Christ the rock. So you need to build on Jesus Christ. And the best way is discipleship. Discipleship will put a foundation. And this is why I say to many people, you know, when we first started ADT, people said, well, I've been a Christian so many years. Yes, I know. And you learn a little there, and you learn a little bit there, but you never build an accurate foundation. So therefore, Christ cannot build on the foundation. So let's stand to our feet, if we will, and let's submit our lives back to Christ and say, bring your cracks, your flaws, your shifting walls, your wobbly floors, your wardrobe, all the things, the mildew, all the things that they included, brought to our attention. It's in this room. There are shifting sands in this room. Emotionally, psychologically, relationally, there are shifting sands. So let's bring ourselves before the Lord and say, Father, you know me. I cannot hide anything from you. You've exposed me this morning, O God, in areas that I've always known was there, but I've not confronted. But Lord, this morning, your Spirit shone the light into that area. Lord, you've been speaking to me about these areas. And Lord, I confess that I've ignored it. And I know, Lord, that your voice will become dimmer and dimmer and fainter in that area if I don't respond. You will still love me, but you'll stop speaking to me in that area. And Father, that area will become dangerous to me. And then I will find myself crying out to you with consequence. And Lord, I don't want a consequential life. I want a life that's built with wisdom and understanding. So Lord, I bring my foundation to you. Father, thank you for exposing me this morning in that area. It's between me and you right now. But Lord, I know if I don't get help, it will become beyond me. The cracks, I won't be able to cover them up anymore. So Father, this morning, I submit myself to you, Holy Spirit. I submit myself to the Word of God. Speak to me afresh, O God. Show me how to put right. Show me how to strengthen. Show me how to make good what's not good in my life. Father, I invite you in a deeper way than I previously have. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to keep speaking. I invite you, Jesus, to keep shaping and forming me. And Father, I thank you for the instruments that you used this morning to bring this word to my attention. Thank you, Father, for your servants who delivered the word, who labored in the word to bring forth this word so that I could be exposed, because you love me, Lord. You do it because you love me. You don't want to see me fail. And you do it, Lord, to show me that there's an enemy who just waits for an opportune time to kill, steal, and destroy what you yourself have built into my life. So, Father, I pray this morning, and I ask you, bless the people who delivered it. Bless you for the one who revealed it. And now, Father, conceal it in my heart so the enemy does not take it away. I ask in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. 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 Let's give the Lord our appreciation.